the mayor himself, John Hovind. John, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, Studs. And, you know, I always come in with a couple of questions for you. So, first off, I have to know, the Captain Lou Albano photo on your Twitter account, that's you with the captain, or that's one of your friends?
That's me, buddy. That's me with Captain Lou. I think we were 20 or 19 years old after we got drafted by the Islanders, and we were at Nassau Coliseum, and all these Westerners came out, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's Captain Lou Albano. One of my buddies had a camera, and he took a picture of us.
Outstanding.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Outstanding.
This guy
is the second question is, what's this about you sending your producer for some MMA training today? I saw on Twitter that if he died, he wanted everybody to know it was at your hands.
It was. Yeah, well, I like to send out the help, you know, every now and then to go work out. And these guys went out to one of my friends' gyms here and trains MMA style. And it was unbelievable. It was actually a great way to see them work out and change, you know, because people are trying to get in shape and they always want to do the same thing, run or yoga. And I think those are all great things. But I think change and keeping fresh is what's healthy for their lifestyle.
I love it. Look at you, taking care of your people.
Trying to. I'm trying to, buddy. One person at a time, I'm getting people to live healthier.
All right, let's talk some hockey.
John, Hawks, Kings, was that the best series we've seen in a reasonable amount of time, I suppose?
Well, at least in 20 years. I've long argued, at least until the last couple of weeks, I've long argued that for my money, the best seven-game series in NHL history was 1993, the LA Kings against the Toronto Maple Leafs. On the line at that time was the opportunity to go and play for a Stanley Cup, and we all know what happened. Bob McKenzie called out Wayne Gretzky, said he was playing like he had a piano on his back. Gretz goes nuts and scores a hat trick. I mean, it was an amazing series. McSorley, Gilmore, Wendell Clark punching each other in the face for seven games. We had everything we could have wanted in an NHL playoff series back then, and that was 1993. It's really funny when you watch the tapes of those games now, though. It was such a different league. I mean, you would have had a penalty every 30 seconds to a minute if that was played under today's rules. So let's call it of the more modern era, and certainly modern typically doesn't refer to the last 20 years exclusively, but so of this new NHL, quicker, faster, new rules coming out of multiple lockouts, absolutely, what an amazing seven-game series. You had the double overtime game a couple nights back, when the Blackhawks came out on top, and then you go to Game 7, overtime, what more could you ask for? It was just a phenomenal series, and you truly saw the elite players in the National Hockey League taking it to the next level.
John Hovind joins us from mayorsmanor.com. Now, John, you talk about the elite players. I mean, Kopitar, Taze, incredible, and everyone was playing at a high, high level. I don't know how to ask this question, but was it just pure luck that the Kings won this series? And could the same have been true if the Blackhawks would have won it, because the teams are so closely matched?
Well, you're absolutely right that, you know, neither team really outplayed the other team for an extended period of time. You know, if you go back to the series with the Blackhawks and the Wild, you can conceivably make the argument that the Wild were the better team and that Chicago ended up with the better goaltending and Corey Crawford, because Minnesota outplayed them for long stretches in that series. And, of course, the Blackhawks, being the true champions they are, they came out on top. In this series, it really was back and forth. There wasn't any sort of momentum that carried over from period to period. And the word that I've used a lot was rhythm. I never saw the Chicago Blackhawks play in any sort of a rhythm. I never saw the LA Kings play in their typical rhythm. So I wasn't surprised that it went seven games from that standpoint. But if you want to talk about luck, really, honestly, the Blackhawks were the ones that were lucky in Game 7. They picked up two or three bounces in that game for goals that in any other game, they wouldn't have been goals. They were just freaky, freaky bounces, and that's really what put the Blackhawks ahead. The Kings were constantly fighting from behind all night. They were down three times. I wouldn't say that it was luck. Okay. I would say that you saw arguably the two best teams in the National Hockey League, certainly among the three or four elite teams in the NHL, just going out there and playing hockey, and it was a beautiful thing. They played the game the way that it was supposed to be played. They played it between the whistles. There wasn't really a lot of shenanigans to speak of. The officiating overall was great, over the seven games. It was just outstanding hockey, and it ended the way that every seven-game series should end, in overtime.
Looking at this series now, through the lens of looking backwards, was there anything that the Kings could have done to wrap this up a little sooner?
Absolutely, there was. If you look at how they handled Patrick Kane through the first three or four games, they were, to use a basketball phrase, double-teaming and even triple-teaming him, not giving him any space out there, pushing him out along the boards and keeping him, you know, keeping him at distance. And they seemed to really let him loose once they had that commanding 3-1 lead in the series. Then once he had some space, then all of a sudden Patrick Kane was able to do his thing. One of the most interesting quotes that I found in the series was after Kane had the four assists, the next day, or a few days later, I should say, Drew Doughty made the comment that even though Patrick Kane showed up with four assists on the score sheet, he never felt like, this is Doughty, he never felt like Kane was dominating the game out there. So it, to me, it just speaks to how sneaky Patrick Kane is. He has that innate ability to show up at the right place at the right time and help his team contribute offensively. Drew Doughty, though, with the phenomenal series, and I don't know what more you could have asked from him. He was playing, it felt like, 40-plus minutes every single night. So, you know, maybe if they had a little bit better goaltending from Jonathan Quick, they could have closed him out early. But usually Quick's play has to do with the defense in front of him, and the Kings had a few challenges in the later stages of that series.
We're talking with John Hovind from MaresManor.com. I love watching the handshake after the one team wins or the other team loses, and I thought this was a really special one. I thought there was such a level of respect and not animosity we've seen in other series.
You know, you're absolutely right. Coming into the series and even early on in the series, a number of other interviews that I've done, people have asked about the rivalry between these two teams, and they tried to hype up the fact that they met last year in the Western Conference Final, and even Drew Doughty, again, coming out and saying, look, the Blackhawks took our Stanley Cup from us last year, and we want to get it back this year. But here's the thing. Their rivals, the LA Kings, their rivals are teams like the Vancouver Canucks and the San Jose Sharks. They hate, and when I say hate, it's in bold and underscored. They hate those two teams, and they just don't have that same level of hate for the Blackhawks. There's a different something that's there, and it's respect. They respect the Chicago Blackhawks. The Kings want to be the Blackhawks, and you know the old saying, I mean, back to Captain Lou Albano, a friend of his, Ric Flair, to be the man, you have to beat the man, and to get the respect that the Kings feel that they deserve, they needed to beat the Chicago Blackhawks this year. They lost to them last year when they felt that they were kind of undermanned. They felt that injuries, kind of did them in. Willie Mitchell wasn't around. Mike Richards had a concussion. Matt Green was coming off the back surgery and had pretty much missed the whole year. They felt they were fully armed and ready this year, and they wanted to beat the Blackhawks to prove that the 2012 Stanley Cup wasn't a fluke. This team is for real. Their window is open now, and they should be one of the elite teams in the NHL here for the next 3 or 4 years, regardless of what happens in the Cup Final.
With the winner of this series, or with this series, we just saw Hawks Kings. Was that, in your mind, the Stanley Cup championships?
You know, I have to say no. People like to bring that
really?
Up and because they're talking about it was, two of the best teams in the league. You know why it's not the Stanley Cup? Because only one team every year gets to have their name engraved on a little silver shiny trophy that everybody in the world of hockey craves, and that's the Stanley Cup. So, no, you can't have a series, unless it's the Stanley Cup final, you can't have a series regardless of how great it is and call it the de facto Stanley Cup, because there's only one Stanley Cup. And the team that ends up this year hoisting that cup, that's the Stanley Cup winner. It's either going to be the New York Rangers or it's going to be the LA Kings, and they will be immortalized when their name goes on the side of that trophy.
John Hovind, John is us from MaresManor.com. Let's look ahead then to New York Rangers. I think we all, acknowledge that the goaltender is probably Lundqvist is better, playing better, maybe not better. You don't agree with that?
The only reason I laugh is that I take so much heat on Twitter because for the last 3 years I've said that without a shadow of a doubt, Jonathan Quick, in my mind, is the best goaltender in the National Hockey League. If you want to talk elite goaltenders and kind of have that argument, you certainly are talking about guys like Pekka Rinne, Tuukka Rask, Henrik Lundqvist, no doubt about it. That's going to be the interesting thing to watch and to follow in this series, because when people have tried to have that argument in the past, my reply always is, look, if there's one game and you only can have one game to decide whatever it is, a playoff series, a Stanley Cup, whatever, who do you want in goal? It's Jonathan Quick. The nitpickers want to talk about his save percentage here and this and that. It doesn't matter to me. If there's one game on the line, Jonathan Quick is the guy. But look, Henrik Lundqvist is playing out of his mind right now. He's playing like a man possessed, and he certainly is one of the elite goaltenders. So, the long and short of it is you're absolutely right. In goal, Henrik Lundqvist versus Jonathan Quick, that's what the marquee should say in this series.
John, the third line, or whatever line they want to call it in New York, with Brassard and Pouliot and who am I missing? Zuccarello, yeah, they've done a lot of great things. They've been dynamic for that group. You know, is that the line that perhaps gets a matchup of Stoll and Williams?
Well, I will say this. The depth players on the New York Rangers have been more impressive of late compared to the LA Kings depth players. It's really interesting. When you look at this 2012 Kings Cup team and you compare it to the group that's competing now in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Kings have more high-end talent. They've added Gabrick and guys like that. Mm-hmm. But their depth players aren't contributing the same way that they were getting contributions from the third and fourth line back in 2012. Same thing with their role players on defense as well. You're not seeing those guys chipping in offensively. Remember Matt Green scoring goals even in the 2012 playoffs. You are seeing that with the New York Rangers, and even go back to the game where they won and eliminated the Habs. They picked up a goal from essentially their fourth line, and it ended up being a 1-0 game. So you're going to have to keep an eye on that line that you mentioned. You're going to have to keep an eye on some of those depth players, because the Rangers are kind of one of those teams right now that are scoring by committee, where the LA Kings, they're getting a lot of offense from big guns like Jeff Carter and Gabrick.
One last one for you, John Hove and Daryl Sutter. This guy, it's unbelievable. It seems like he has, like, the nutty professor, doesn't know what's going on, but he pushes all the right buttons for this team. You know, what can he do looking forward into this series with the Rangers?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because we've talked in the past, Dreds, about how Sutter is that sort of nutty professor. People wonder what's going on. This guy is an evil genius. He's a mastermind. He knows every single button that he's pushing with his players, with the media, with everybody that's around him. This guy is, he's just a hockey savant. Sometimes he's a little slow, it seems, to make adjustments and make changes. You know, he was slow to the Alec Martinez party. He was slow to the Tyler Toffoli and Tanner Pearson party. But once he gets on board, he's on board 110%. What he needs to do in this series here is not let the series slip away from him and make those changes later in the series. The Kings need to put their foot on the gas from the very beginning and keep it that way. They need to get both wins at home in Los Angeles, keep the pressure on the Rangers before going back to New York for games 3 and 4. And at the same time, Jim Fox, one of the longtime commentators, 27 years with the LA Kings as a commentator, but a former player like yourself, one of the things he said to me last night is, Sutter is so intense during the regular season, and he's constantly on the players, and that's what creates that grind. You and I had talked about that earlier in the year, how he just wears and grinds on the players. But then he mentioned something interesting, that what Sutter tends to do in the playoffs is completely back off. He's done all of his work, and now it's time to just back off and let his best players play the game. And that's why the Kings have been so successful in the playoffs the last couple of years. So I think that's something to look for as you move forward here into the Stanley Cup final.
It's going to be absolutely awesome, John. And I know we'll be talking to you again as this series unfolds. Enjoy the big game on Wednesday. I assume the Staples Center will be blowing up.
Staples Center will be sold out. Tickets are at a premium, of course, in Los Angeles and New York. And Studs, don't kill any of your PAs or your producers in the meantime, because, we need to talk to you later on in the series.
You got it, John. You're the best. Have a great night, sir.
All right. Thanks, Studs. Talk to you soon.